Of course, campaign logos are just part of the political picture. There's also political television advertising. That includes third-party TV ads. By that, I mean those not directly associated with a campaign. Third-party ads aren't a new phenomenon, but the recent changes to campaign finance law have helped pour third-party ads all over the airwaves. Here in Massachusetts, in the governor's race, the third-party ads started early with a large media buy by the Republican Governors Association. Those ads attacked independent candidate Tim Cahill. Before long, the candidates themselves leapt in with their own ads, and media analyst John Carroll has been paying close attention to all of those, so he joins us now at the end of the political ad season to give us his review one last time. John Carroll, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Nice to be here, Sasha.
John, you've come on the show several times in the past few weeks to evaluate some of the campaign ads for us. This time, let's not have you editorialize at all, but just talk to us about some of the techniques used and which ads you think are noteworthy and which were successful or not so successful. Let's start with an ad out by Charlie Baker's wife.
Charlie is a really loyal person. He's loyal to his friends. He's loyal to his family. He one time said to me that I'm in it till the end. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm in it till the end. And that is true in everything he does. And he's a loving husband, not a great romantic, but, you know, a girl can't have everything. King of the clicker, loves movies and chocolate chip cookies. He's really kind of a regular guy, but there's absolutely nothing average about Charlie Baker.
So, John Carroll, we just really got a slice of Charlie Baker at home. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I'm not going to editorialize, but I do have some awards. So I'm going to give this one the Date Night Dud Award because it's a really strange sort of thing to say about your husband on tape during a gubernatorial campaign. And I know that this is supposed to humanize Charlie Baker. I mean, it's very much a sort of a bio/testimonial spot from the missus. But I don't know how well it humanizes him, but it sure as heck humanizes her. And you really feel a lot of sympathy for her toward the end of this.
And how about this one? This is Deval Patrick's Storm advertisement.
These are tough times for the whole country, and our choices have helped us weather this storm better than most. Last month, we saw the biggest unemployment drop in 35 years. We lead the nation in student achievement, clean energy, and health coverage for our people. In these times, we should be turning to each other, not on each other. I believe in Massachusetts, and I believe in you.
John Carroll?
I'll give this one the Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood Award. This race has been, from the start, Mr. Rogers versus Mr. Get Off My Lawn, You Kids. And and I think that Deval Patrick has chosen this strategy specifically in contrast to this sort of anger movement that's out there. There's a lot of momentum behind sort of the Tea Party movement, and there's a lot of sense that there's anger out there that's going to roll across the country in a wave this election day. I don't know if that's true or not, and Deval Patrick is certainly trying to provide an alternative as well as sort of cheerlead for his accomplishments.
It's the look on the bright side message.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Tim Cahill has an ad that starts with some high drama music. Here's that one.
Imagine, one of nine kids who dreamed big and won. Tim Cahill, a Quincy boy who wrestled in college, then coached. Opened a small business because he needed a job. Married Tina, had four girls, taught them right from wrong. Quincy City Council, one of America's best treasurers. Now Tim is running for governor, the only candidate who is one of us. Tim Cahill, a different direction for different results.
So give this one the Chariots of Fire Award. I think the music is probably the most grandiose of any in the campaign so far. One quibble with this is that the narrator mispronounces Quincy. But
I was going to ask you about that, because last time you and I listened to this ad, they said Quincy, and I thought, it's Quincy.
Right, and for a boy from Quincy, I think he should have double-checked that and made sure the narrator got it right.
A better copy editor for the campaign ad. John, let's talk about some national ads, which I think are worth hearing just because in some cases they're very unlike ads we hear in Massachusetts. One of them, which actually doesn't fall in that category but is worth hearing for a different reason, is one by Charles Grassley, the Iowa senator who's now trying to win his sixth term in Congress.
I heard Chuck Grassley has a Twitter. Oh, can it be cured?
Oh, not that kind. I like to use new technologies like Twitter and Facebook just to keep in touch. And meetings in 99 counties every year. I'll tweet, I'll text, I'll do whatever it takes. I work for you.
Grassley works for us.
I'm Chuck Grassley, and I approve this message.
Now, John, those two women's voices we heard at the beginning were two very elderly, white-haired women looking quite scandalized and troubled.
And very concerned, too, about the, I gather, the health of Charles Grassley. I give this one the Old Dog New Tech Award. I think what he's trying to do is juggle two things here. He's got seniority. He talks in the campaign about how important that is. But he also wants people to know that that he has fresh ideas. He's up to date on technology. He also has been around for 30 years but doesn't want them to think that he's part of the establishment down there. He's very much trying to establish and retain his connections back in Iowa. So I think there's a couple of reasons for running that spot.
John, we also have an ad from Arizona by a candidate named Pamela Gorman. She was a candidate for Congress who lost in the primary. But I want us to take a listen to this anyway because it's something I don't think we've ever heard in here in Massachusetts.
This year, a lot of folks think this is our best shot at changing Congress. Of course, that all depends on the caliber of our candidates. Meet Pamela Gorman, candidate for Congress in Arizona 3, conservative Christian, and a pretty fair shot. The insiders in the state Senate wanted to have her hide when she fought against their plan for higher taxes. But Gorman, she can take care of herself. Rated 100% by the NRA, conservative Pamela Gorman is always right on target.
I'm Pamela Gorman, and I approve this message.
This one you have to see to believe, but I'll give this one the Ted Baxter Voiceover Award because I think that guy's voice is right out of some kind of recording school. The Tommy Gunn Gordon Gorman is shooting for half of this ad.
And with a variety of firearms, starting out with a machine gun, I believe,
An impressive array, yes, absolutely. And one thing you only see on the screen is there's a super that says Pamela has taught her son gun safety, and he's a great shot too. So presumably, if she was off voting in Congress, he'd be the emergency backup shooter if you needed somebody to handle a gun.
Now, as I mentioned, Pamela Gorman lost the primary, so she's not running in the general election. But someone from Arizona who is running in the general election in that very race is Ben Quayle, and let's listen to his ad.
Barack Obama is the worst president in history. And my generation will inherit a weakened country. Drug cartels in Mexico, tax cartels in D.C. What's happened to America? I love Arizona. I was raised right. Somebody has to go to Washington and knock the hell out of the place. My name's Ben Quayle. And I approve this message.
That's some pretty tough talk.
Yeah, this is the Beat Saturday Night Live to the Punch Award. I mean, this thing looks like a parody from the very beginning. He's staring at the camera, really very serious-faced, and it almost parodies itself. But it's an indication of the seriousness that he's trying to convey. He was in this sort of rumpus about writing for some raunchy website, and that came up during the primary. And I think what he wants to do is try to give himself a sort of a more serious image. And I think that's what this is. But it feels so over the top that you wonder how Arizonans are going to react to it.
So what do you make of the fact that when you look at these ads in states out west, we see such open venom towards President Obama? We see these ads where firearms are a big selling point for people. What does it mean that that's so different from what we see here?
Well, I think that there is a different sensibility across the country, and there's also a different perspective on things. I think here we've got a very East Coast, Atlantic Seaboard kind of perspective, and politics is more of a gentleman's game here. I mean, people, this has not been a very tough gubernatorial race from an advertising standpoint. I mean, this has been a pillow fight. And you go around the country in other places, and it's entirely vicious. And so I think there's this sense of something drastic has to be done to change the status quo. And I think that that's the wave that may be coming this election. And I think that that's the wave that a lot of candidates and a lot of Republican candidates are trying to ride.
So we may think in Massachusetts that politics is quite a game here, but we're just junior varsity compared to what we see elsewhere.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of patty cake going on here, and around the country there's a lot of punch outs.
John Carroll, thanks for weighing in on these.
Always a pleasure.
John Carroll is a professor at Boston University and a media analyst. He blogs at campaignoutsider.com.
Mike Weinstein, working hard for you and me.
And that music? That's for Mike Weinstein, who's hoping to get reelected state rep in Florida. That's actually his campaign music. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. Working hard for you and me, representing this tomorrow.